people start, let's read the verse for beginning the sutra, Chinese verse, then English. Please join palms.
无上甚深微妙法，百千万劫难遭遇。我今见闻得受持，愿解如来真实意。
The unsurpassed, profound, and sublime Dharma is difficult to encounter even in a billion aeons. Today we see, hear, receive, and uphold it, vowing to fathom the true meaning of the Tathagata. Thank you. So, last time we talked about the Bodhisattva of the virtuous merit. Okay. In that lecture, we introduced three methods for practice. Do you remember that? Samatha, Samabhadi, and Dhyana. So Samatha basically is practicing the stillness of mind. So from the sutra, it says our mind is like mirror. Practice so that our mind is like mirrors. And the second is Samabhadi. The practice is actually uphold the practice of stillness and also contemplation. Basically cultivate the Samadhi and the wisdom at the same time. So it's just like a moving ground, but it still can grow plants. And the third method is called Dhyana. That method is you go directly to the wisdom of no self. And just like an instrument, when you need it, you play it and the sound come out. And then the sound won't attach to the instrument. So basically, the instrument is like our body and mind, and the sound is like the wisdom. So we use our body and mind to help sentient beings, but when we generate wisdom, the wisdom won't attach to our body. So there is no attachment, no self. So that's basically the three methods that Buddha introduced in our last chapter. 上个礼拜呢，我们讲的是威德自在菩萨。 那在上一章呢，介绍了三个基本主要的修行方法哈，一个是色摩他的修行，基本上是修止。那在经文中呢，就比喻这个止的修行法门呢，就像是一个镜，我们的心就像镜照诸相一样哈，镜是非常平的，非常。 就是什么东西来，它就如实的呈现，这样的一个修行。那第二个方法叫做三摩波提，三摩波提的话呢，它是止观同时定慧等持的一个修行方法。那在经文里面呢，就比喻它就像一个不动的大地，但是呢还可以长出活生生的苗。那第三个方法叫做禅那。 禅那的方法呢，它基本上就是直接进入无心，也就是我们中国禅宗直接讲直指人心。那这个方法就是没有次第的，直接进入无心，产生无心的智慧。那在经文里面比喻说是就像好像一个气中簧哈，就是好像一个乐器，好，那你需要它的时候你弹它，那个声音就出来了。 你的智慧就出来了，出来之后，但是那个智慧不会粘着在乐器上，因为它无我。如果你有我的话，你就会那个声音就会粘在乐器上。他用这个来比喻说，无我的智慧，但是众生需要的时候，它就自然而然弹出那个声音。那声音呢，事情结束后，它就消失了，它不会执着在 所谓的乐器就是比喻成我们众生的身心，那我们会用身心来救度众生，但是我们不会执着它是我。产生的智慧我们也不会执着它是我，这就是我的智慧。那接下来 OK Today I speak English first. Sorry. So next, there is a bodhisattva called Bodhisattva of Sound Discernment. Okay. Then after Buddha introduced these three methods, he raised and started to ask, you know, yeah, these three methods are so great. It can help us get enlightenment. But how can we approach? How can we use? For example, how can I practice to still my mind? How can I practice to cultivate my wisdom? So on. So he asked Bodhisattva, if Buddha say, you know, how can I approach these three methods? And Buddha said, you know, actually there is no practice and no practitioner. In the from Buddha's view, there is no practice and practitioners. But for us, because we are still ignorant and we are still in the illusory dream, so we need an expedient method to practice. And in that chapter, that Buddha taught the method in detail. And also there are 25 expedient methods. Basically, you can use samatha, samabhadhi, and dhyana in different combination. For example, you can use samatha only, or samabhadhi or dhyana only to get to enlightenment. Or you can use, first you use samatha, you still calm your mind first, and then you transfer to samabhadhi to cultivate the stillness and wisdom at the same time. So that chapter is basically different combination of these three methods. And this chapter that Shifu did not have any commentary on that chapter. So you can't find that chapter in this book. The reason that Shifu say that he chose not to write up this chapter is because this chapter needs very detailed and very careful explanation and combination and comparison between these 25 methods. And if he wrote it in this book and practitioner read it and get misunderstanding, then your practice will get something will get wrong with your practice. And so it needs very detailed and very careful guidance if you pick any of the 25 methods. So today I will not introduce this chapter either, because I'm not even get to Shifu's level, and so Shifu choose not to explain, and I don't think I can explain that clear too. So there are some books like from other master, like Tai Shi master or other master, that they try to explain that chapter that you can look at, but you will find that depends on who wrote that commentary, depends what method, or are they scholar or they are really Chan practitioners. They wrote that chapter in very different point of view, and you can get very different information from that. So it's up to you, but if you are using the method to practice, I just suggest that, you know, Shifu told us, be careful when you read that chapter. OK， 那接下来呢，刚刚讲的佛陀讲的三个方法，那就可以用咯。可是接下来那个菩萨叫做辩音菩萨，好， 就是分变就是中间一个言字部的哈，变音菩萨呢，那顾名思义，他其实就是很会这比较的哈。那他就问佛说：“哎呀，这三个方法真好啊，修止，然后修止观或定慧，然后直接修禅那，这样的方法非常的好，可以帮助我们开悟。可是哈，我们要怎么下手呢？”这三个方法要怎么下手，我们才可以有没有什么方便的方法可以下手去用这些法门，然后真正能够就是用上方法这样子。那佛在这个辩音菩萨这一章里面呢就解释哈，他说其实哈，他还是要回归到他最原始的一个本怀哦。他说因此对佛，在佛的眼光里面来讲，是没有修行这件事，也没有修行人的这样的人，就是没有客观跟主观的一个东西的对立。但是因为我们众生哈还是无明的，好还在我们的梦中，所以呢需要一些方便方法来帮助我们。那这时候佛就用刚刚讲的色摩他、三摩波提跟禅那呢由不同的组合，好，组合了25种方法。这25种方法，比如说，你可以单纯的用色摩他，好，然后他在经文里面有讲说要怎么止心，好，他可以这样，好，然后你直接用这个方法直接开悟，或者你可以用三摩波提或是禅那，或者呢，你刚开始的时候呢，可以用止，好，然后慢慢的开始止观。然后或者呢，你可以先修止观，然后再进入禅那，或者是你可以修止观之后，然后再完全的进入禅那，哎，那个色摩他。所以它总共有25种。好，但是呢，师父就在这本书哈，在中英文的这本书里面呢，他有在看序言的时候有提到说，关于这一章呢，他选择不写。好，原因是。这25种方法，好，需要很严密的解释跟比较，好，我们才不会用错方法。那如果说写在书里面，然后写的不够严谨严密的话呢，那修行人在看到这本书就拿去用的话呢，会走错路，好，那他觉得这样的话，他没有办法承担这样的一个责任，所以师父呢就选择不写。但是呢，如果大家可以去找，好像太虚大师啊，好，还有什么南怀瑾老师啊，还有一些大师，他们都曾经注解过《圆觉经》，包括圭峰宗密大师都注解过《圆觉经》。那他们在这个章节都有不同的注解。那我看过几个版本，那你会发现说，他们的注解基于每个人不同的大师的背景。还有他们禅修的方法，或是他们也许是偏向学者型的，那他们在写这个章节的时候，就用非常不同的观点去注解。那因为他去注解，所以就是不同的。所以大家在读这个章节的时候，要特别小心，尤其是如果你觉得你的方法用的有点疑问，想要从这里面找到答案的话呢，那你就要更小心了。OK， so。今天一样的哈，我也没有比师父更厉害，师父讲不清楚，我大概也讲不清楚哈，所以这个章节呢，我们这个礼拜呢就 pass 哈，我们就不讲，那就假设我们知道说啊有25个方法哈，就已经演变成25个方法哈，已经用不完了哈。But one thing I need to point out is very interesting is no matter how many Buddha introduce the method to us.The problem is, the more we know, the more we don't have confidence. Sometimes we will pick this method and use it and say, well, it didn't work, let's change to the other one. And in the previous chapter, we only had 3 methods to choose. Now, the next chapter, we have 25 methods to choose. That will be a problem. No, then you cannot make up your mind, you know.Then 25, which one is most suitable to me? See, a lot of people ask master or teacher this question, you know, even Huatou and Southern Illumination, which one is better for me, right? Now we have 25 to choose. So what should we do? And very interestingly, in the Sutra of Complete Enlightenment, in the last paragraph of that chapter, the Buddha say, you know, if you want to choose a method, there is one way you can do it. You don't have to try 1 to 12, 25. What you can do is, in front of the Buddha, repent for 21 days, prostrate, repent, and you sort of write up 1 to 25 after 21 days repentance. Then you, in front of the Buddha, you pick one. And that is your method. If you generate one thought of doubt, then that method won't work for you. Okay, so that's a way that Buddha suggests you can pick your method. Okay, and I remember there is a master that he really, really liked Tiantai school. He wanted to study Tiantai school, but he was still not sure, you know, if that school is good for him. So he goes in front of the Buddha, and then he used the same method to pick, you know, should I practice Pure Land or Chan school or Tiantai school or Huayan school? He picked. And then he picked the Pure Land school. Then he said, I should try it again. He prostrated and repent. And pick one. Pure Land again. He picked three times. Pure Land. Then so he sort of let go of Tiantai, you know, he starts to practice Pure Land and write a commentary about all the sutra related to Pure Land. So, you know, I mean, this sub-master, Patria, used this method to choose this school, the method too. So sometimes maybe that's your karma or your affinity that you will use that method, okay. And I think a lot of people ask me too about which method to use. Some people wanted to try all the methods before they can pick one, but life is short. You have to spend a lot of time even to master one method. And how can you master all the methods and then you decide which one to use? Sometimes the method comes to you and you just use it and use it diligently and use it until no matter what happened to you from your mind or you're from outside, that you can use the method to dissolve your vexation, and that's a good method for you, and that's the purpose of the method too. 那所以在 佛本来是介绍三个方法嘛，三个方法的时候，大家就会想说，那这三个我要用哪一个是最适合我的？结果呢，下一章之后呢，菩萨问佛，佛介绍了25个方法，这下惨了，三个已经不知道选哪一个。 又来了25个， 那这怎么选呢？ 那在这个圆觉经呢的这个章节，辩音菩萨的这个章节的最后一章呢，最后一个小节呢，非常有意思的。他介绍一个方法，就是说，好，你做一个签哈，1到25做签哈，不是卜卦了哈，就是抽签了哈，你做好这个签筒放在佛面前，然后你就开始忏悔礼拜。 21天，诚恳的忏悔礼拜21天，希望佛可以给你一个好的方法。21天后你就去抽一个签哈，抽起来的那个方法就是你的方法。如果你产生一念的疑悔呀，就是怀疑或是后悔，那这个方法就不 work， 就不管用。好，那你就再去拜，再去抽。 基本上其实就是你拜呀、抽就是那个信心，其实方法哈都差不多，但是呢，你对方法有没有信心？很多的信众常常会问师父啊，问国兴法师啊，甚至问我们一些法师说：“哎呀，这个话头跟墨照 哪个是适合我啊，我要用哪一个啊。好，那有的人甚至觉得说话筒末梢都不管用，好，我是不是来去修一点什么好别的宗派的哈，也许净土好啊，也许密宗也好啊，然后就好摸来摸去，就是变成摩门教了哈。那到底你是不是应该把你所知道的方法全部练过一遍之后，然后你才觉得说啊，这个方法最适合我，需不需要这样呢？好，人生苦短，我们光要精通一个法门，要花很长的时间。如果你需要去精通所有的法门，然后你才知道哪一个法门最适合你的时候，也许这辈子就已经结束了哈。所以有时候呢，我们有时候用方法是靠因缘，好，看你的业力啦，就是你会用到这个方法什么，那你就努力的用。那最主要师父讲说，我们用方法呢，就是它不是说什么最好或最不好，而是我们要努力的用方法。用到这个方法呢，是在我们遇到心内心外的烦恼跟业障现前的时候，我们可以用这个方法来消融这些烦恼，那这个就是好方法。那这也是用方法的一个目的，好，而不是说哪一个方法真的马上可以让你成佛，而是那个方法能够解决你的烦恼跟困难，那这是用方法的目的。好， Then next, after we know 25 method, assuming we know that, then the next Bodhisattva rise called Bodhisattva cleans of all karmi obstructions. So from this part, you may know that what kind of question the Bodhisattva will ask. Basically, he asks, you know, wow, 25 method, that's great, that should be enough for us. But, you know, since our mind is originally pure, you know, no matter what method we use, we should easily catch on, you know, use it, by the way. But unfortunately, we are not. We might spend a whole life and didn't even know how to use the method. And then Bodhisattva asks for us, all the sentient beings in the Buddha ending age, say, why we are not pure right now? Why we cannot use the method and get into the Chan door? Why cannot, you know, use the method right away? So basically, Shifu say this question can elaborate into three questions. One question is, you know, since when we are ignorant and why? And third is, will this ignorance last forever? 那接下来假装啊，我们都已经知道这二十五个法门怎么用了，那接下来那个菩萨就叫做尽诸业障菩萨，顾名思义，你就会知道接下去佛要问什么了。那尽诸业障菩萨就问佛说， Wow, great, 二十五个方法好多，没问题的，应该可以，至少我们所有的人都应该可以至少选一个方法来用了。那可是他说，为什么他问说这么多方法可以用，为什么我们这个末代的众生呢总是不能入门呐？给我们一个方法，既然我们的心是很清净的，那照理说给我们一个方法，我们就应该很快的用上手，然后就开悟咯。可是为什么我们用一个方法用来用去就烦恼很多，然后不用方法还好，一用方法烦恼更多，好，那用不了方法但不能入门呢？好，那师父常常就跟我们说，我们就是都没有摸到门把，更不要讲入门，为什么我们不能入门呢？那师父呢把这个问题尽诸业障菩萨的问题把它展开成三个问题。那第一个问题就是说，我们什么时候变得不清净的，所以用不上方法哈。第二个呢，为什么我们变不清净？第三个，这样的不清净和无明是不是会永远延续下去？ 那这是基本上就是这个净住业障菩萨的一个问题。So Buddha asked, answer, you know, see, our Buddha nature, even though we are not pure, our Buddha nature is no different from Buddha's Buddha nature. We are all the same. Since beginning this time. But also, since beginning this time, we are ignorant. That we don't know we have this Buddha nature. We cannot recognize it. We don't know that our Buddha nature exists. So we are trying to use a method to pursue something outside. That's our basic ignorance. 那佛就说咯，他说我们从无始以来，我们的佛性就跟佛的佛性没有什么不同，一样的。可是呢，我们从无始以来就有一个无明，那个无明呢，就是不知道自己的佛性存在，不认得我们自己的佛性，我们不觉得我们有佛性。所以呢，当我们呢一听到有佛的时候呢，我们就赶快想说抓一个方法，看可不可以从我们的心外去啊追求一个佛性。我们不想那个佛性就在我们这里，虽然我们很无明，我们不清净，可是佛性根本就跟我们在一起，因为我们不认得它，这是我们最大的无明，也就是为什么我们不清净的原因。好，就是认贼为子啊，明明你的佛性是你的主宰，可是你却要认你的烦恼为我啊，你就痛苦不堪。那所以呢，就是 then you know Buddha use this short sentence to explain the first, you know, when and why we are not pure. And third, will thatUnless it lasts forever. Buddha said, if we do not let go of the four signs of self, then this ignorance will last forever. If we let go of the four signs or four phenomena of self, thenWe will get back to our Buddha nature right away. 那这样的无明会不会永远的持续下去呢？佛说有四种相，如果我们不离开这四种相的话，那这样的不清净与无明就会永远跟我们在一起。但是如果我们一离开这四种相呢，那我们就很容易，我们的心就回归清净，就能够见到自己的佛性。So what are these four? I prefer these four phenomena. Four phenomena of self. It's very famous. Maybe you all know the phenomena of self, the phenomena of person, the phenomena of existing beings.And the phenomena of life or time. 那什么是四相呢？就是这个非常有名的哈，那就是提到的就是我相、人相、众生相、受者相。如果你不离开这四相呢，你做什么都是不对的。好，那这四相是什么？ So what are these four signs or four phenomena?These four signs are very famous in Diamond Sutra, right? Maybe you all heard about it. The four signs, the four phenomena has different depths. So, from ordinary people point of view, the four phenomena is very crude. And Shifu give an example.For example, if you are fall in love with someone, so you are loving someone, right? So you, you is the phenomenon of self, and the, your loved one is the phenomenon of person. So subject and object, you love someone. And then you want this love last forever. So that's time. You hope that it lasts forever. And then, if you get married, original it's you and your loved one, two people. When you get married, how many people will be involved? Your family, your loved one's family, and your children, and your grandchildren. Right? Children after children. Then it becomes everybody. Okay? So that's called the phenomenon of existing beings that basically go beyond you and subject and object. Can somebody turn on the ventilation? Sorry. 那什么是四相？我相、人相、众生相、寿者相，我们都朗朗上口。可是呢，它有不同的层次。那凡夫的层次，凡夫很粗的一个层次呢，那师父呢就在书本上提到了一个例子，他说假设 你恋爱了，那不就是 你爱你的爱人吗？对不对？那你我爱他，我就是我相，他就是人相，然后我希望这个爱呢能够啊什么海枯石烂，就是哎 forever 这样，就是不要变了，此情不渝了，那这就是受者相，就是你希望他一直存在。然后当你们真的结婚了，结婚了本来是只有你跟他结婚，对吧？结果呢，然后变成多少人啊？你家族的人跟他的家族的人，然后呢你又生小孩，对吧？然后你的小孩又结婚了，对不对？然后又生孙子了，对不对？然后你看你小孩的结婚的那个对象又有一堆 family， 对不对？然后又生了孙子，对不对？然后你看他一直生下去，你最后你的家人就是所有的人。如果你去把你的家谱找出来，从上面到未来啊，他们也有祖先，我们也有祖先嘛，对不对？所以哇，怎么还是两个人的事，最后变成是所有人的事情。所以有时候办婚礼很难，就是这样，太多意见，本来是两个人要去结婚，最后变成两个家族要去结婚了。那这是非常粗的我四象啊，就是常常发生在我们周围当中，就是跟，所以有时候这个执着还很，住持法师常常不是讲嘛，就是你骂我 I gotta speak English first. So this four phenomena is actually attachmentAnd it's very strong and everywhere. So Abbott always, give an example, say, okay, you score me. You score me. So you are the bad person and me. So you think that there is a I was scored by the other person. You think it's real. So you take it seriously. You get mad, you get angry.You want to revenge. Then now, his friend and my friend become enemies. right? Don't talk to his friend. You know, you would ask your friend, don't talk to his friend. He's a bad person. And you think that these things is forever because it's buried into your memory. Even you go home, that person is not in front of you. You're still mad because that person is in your mind, implanted it forever. And you think that is real. So every time you just refresh, remember it, and you get mad all the time. So we have this attachment to the four phenomena, four signs of the self, the person, the existing beings, and the time. So we suffer. 所以呢，住持法师常常不是跟我们讲吗？他骂我，对不对？所以我们觉得我被骂到了，我仅执着我被骂了，很生气。然后那个人骂我，他是坏人，就是我相、人相，对不对？然后呢，你被骂的时候，你很生气，然后你会跟你的朋友讲说，不要跟那个人讲话，你不要跟他的朋友讲话，是坏人，坏人一族的，同一国的。好，那这时候本来是你们两个相骂的，变成一两堆人对立了哈，那烦恼延，烦恼呢就扩张到两组不相干的人。好，然后你认为说这个被骂的事情是很永恒不变的，为什么？你已经把它种在你的记忆中了，刻进去了，所以它都没办法拿掉了哈。就一直在你的脑海里面，所以当你回家不再看到这个人的时候，你还是生气。当你想到他的时候，你还是生气，因为你还是觉得他存在。所以你看，我们这个四相的执着，在我们这种凡夫没有修行的人这么粗的这个心当中，就执着的这么深。好，那想还有了哈。Then another thing is about 9/11 event. Okay. 9/11 event is one group of terrorists attack the Twin Tower, right? Subject and object. Then it becomes a worldwide attention. So now,wherever we go to the plane, we have to go through the security, right? Now it's very tight. I cannot bring water in. And what else? You have to go through the X-ray. And you cannot carry big luggage or all that. And now the influence go to everybody.And how long will it last? How long will this fear end? The fear of attack by the terrorist? I don't know. 911, 对吧？是一组恐怖分子去攻击双子星大楼。一个主客，好，一个我相，一个人相之后，它变成是全球的人都被影响。现在我们坐飞机哦，不管坐到哪里去，不能带水进去了，好，牙膏啊、化妆品哈都不能带了，超过不知道几个盎司都不能带进去哈，连辣椒酱我本来辣椒酱也不能带哈，然后呢，要经过像我们这种穿袍的哈，常常就是要被搜身，就一定要搜身，然后还要经过 X-ray， 给你照的全身都好，骨头都看得见这样子。那你就觉得说，本来是好两个人的两组人的事件，现在变成全球的一种事件。然后呢，我们这样的一个被恐怖分子攻击的这个恐惧。要维持多久？我们多久之后才能放下，回到说 没有恐怖分子攻击的这种情景呢？我不知道。好，那你看这种我相四相的这种执着，给我们带来非常非常多的一种烦恼。Then the next level, Master Tai Xu said that the four phenomena for ordinary people, if your mind goes deeper, then first you will think that the five skandhas are you, the self.Five skandha, self. So you attach, right? You attach your body, you attach your mind, whatsoever. You think that the five skandha is in charge. You feel bad because you are sick, because your leg is pain. You cannotmaster that, you know, I'm in pain but I'm not suffering. Most of people in pain and suffer. If you are a real practitioner, you can be in pain but no suffer. Okay, so first the sign of the phenomena of self is that you think the five skandha is in charge. And the next level, if you cango beyond it, say, oh, my body and mind is not me, but you are attached to a concept that, you know, when I die, this body is useless, my consciousness, my brain is not working, it's okay, I have a soul, I have a spirit that can transfer from this life to next life, so I'm still safe, I'm okay.And third, and so that spirit or that soul, you know, I can go to paradise, no problem. And then if you can go beyond that, there is no soul or spirit, that permanent soul or permanent spirit that carry from this life to next life. But you still, then there is a subtle...attachment to self-existence is that you think that, you know, okay, even though I'm disappear, but the good and bad, the suffer and happy can last. So sometimes this happened to some great persons, like Lincoln.The president, right? He thinks that okay, the contradiction between black and white need to be resolved. You know, the black people has equal right or whatever. Then his goal is to establish a system that can benefit all American people.In the future. You know, he is not trying to say, I can see any benefit right now. But he will think that, you know, I can benefit future, our future generation. This good thing needs to be done because it can benefit everyone in the future generation. Okay. That's the sign of existing beingsAnd the fourth is the phenomena of time or life is that if you can let go the three, and you think no matter what, you will exist. Something will exist. Okay? So for the people that scared of no self is that they scared of non-existence.那 太虚大师在检视凡夫的四相的时候，他又比较再更细一点，他说我相，我相是什么？就是执着五蕴为我了。好，五蕴是色受想行识。好，这个色身跟身肢体，physical 的跟心理的都是我，是他们在主宰。如果你能超越这个，认为五蕴不是我的主宰，这时候你有时候会落于说，好，这个身体这个不是我，但是哈，你会相信说有一个不变、永恒不变的灵魂。好，你会想说没关系啊，我死掉没关系啊，我死了之后我就换个身体嘛。好，我的这个灵魂是永恒不变的。那这个哈，在有其他的一些宗教就是认为有一个永恒不变的灵魂，那在我们佛教不是这样子认为。好，那第三个呢是，当你能够超越看破了说啊，不是一个永恒不变的灵魂的时候，第三个众生相你会去执着说，但是那些盛衰苦乐的种种变化它是可以延续的。那在我们中国的儒学来讲，不是常常讲吗？为天地立心，这个我不会翻英文，所以讲另外一个例子。为天地立心，为生民立命，为往圣继绝学，为万世开太平。有没有？常常我们会听到这个，就是这一般是已经是很伟大的人，他不会想到自己，他也不会想到自己是不是要存在了哈，但是他会觉得说，我一定要做这件事情。因为他对我们后代子孙是非常重要的，我一定要建立一个榜样或是一个制度。好，比如说美国的林肯总统，他觉得说，哎，黑人白人这样对立，黑人也要有同样的权利嘛，是不是？那他会去为了后代美国的子孙，然后会去展开他的这个伟大的工作，他为的是美国未来后代子孙的一个福利。好，他不是想到我或是跟我有关系的人，而是想到所有的众生。好，那这就是众生相。那受者相是什么？那就是一个很维系的一种存在的感受，一种觉受。好，那不管是怎么样，好，刚刚讲的一个师父的例子跟太虚大师的例子，他其实都不离开自我。 So no matter it's 师父's example or Master 太虚's example, all these four phenomena, they are all related to self-attachment. And 师父 say that actually the four phenomena is actually the differentinterpretation or different perspectives of the self-attachment, the self. So if you don't cut it, then you just continuously in the samsara work and suffer. So in the sutra it says that based on these four phenomena, if you like it, you attach to it,If you don't like it, you generate hatred. And so our vexations, our existence is always in the samsara, exactly existence, and we never get out of it. 那师父就讲哈，其实不管怎么样去解读这个四相，哈，它都是不离自我的，也就是我执。也就是说，我们用四相在不同的角度跟不同的层面来解释这个我执。那如果我们不把这个我执放下，那不管怎么样，我们都是在苦海的业之中流转。所以在经文它中他说，你只要有这四种的相，那只要有好的东西出现，你就会想要抓它，你就希望它能够永远给你存在。然后你不喜欢它的时候，你就嗔恨。那你也会以为，你为什么会嗔恨？因为你也以为这样的情形不会改变。好，所以这是一个 就是凡夫的一种志向。The next is, what is the four phenomena that Bodhisattva or great practitioners will get? The first is the phenomena of self is what you experience. No matter what you experience, that's the phenomena of self. Okay, so in the sutra it says, you know, if you sit well, relax your body and mind, and then get to some point, you will find that your body disappears. No any burden from your body. And you're just sitting there. Then Shifu like, bang! Then you, I'm sitting here. I exist. So now you experience the self. Through practice, you know, without any burden from the body and mind, sometimes you will experience that stage. And then when somebody give you a hit, then you realize you exist, you're sitting here. So the sutra try to explain that you have to feel or experience yourself in order to feel your existence. So Shifu say that in practice, no matter what you experience, no matter if like no body, no mind, or very beautiful, this world is so beautiful, or you know, no time, no space, or so bright, no matter how wondrous your experience is, even you think that you attained Buddhahood, the Buddha, you think that you attained the Buddhahood, that's still the phenomena of self. 那对于修行人来讲，他的志向又长什么样子呢？好，那我还是要强调哈，有会有志向，就是因为有我执。那个我执生根蒂固，所以呢，它会藉由不同的状况去显现出来，所以我们叫做相嘛，显现哈，就我有四相。那我相是什么呢？在书上讲，他说，凡所有你任何你的心可以体验的东西，都是我相。好，那在经文上就解释哈，他说啊，当你能够禅坐，坐在那边很好，身心放松，有没有？然后没有任何的负担，有时候呢，你就会进入那种像没有身体不见了，没有任何负担的感觉。然后这时候，如果师父拿一个香板过来打你一下，然后就忽然身体有了，然后你才知道说，哦，我坐在这里了。好，那这个时候你才这个过程就是让你知道说，你必须借由这个身体或是你心的觉受，然后知道自己存在。这都是我相，所以很多很多的修行人不是会经验一些哇好很美好的感觉，有没有？然后有时候就说啊，身心不见了，身不见，身体不见了。有的会说啊，没有时间跟空间的感觉了。然后有的是什么哇，无量光无量寿了，甚至会跟师父说，我开悟了，我悟到了。这些你所有可以去证得的东西都是我相，都你都不理我相哦。所以师父说，我相是单纯的可以从身体的觉知一直到你对佛性的体验都是我相。所以真正开悟的人，他不会说我开悟了，我证得什么东西。当你听到有人说我证得了什么东西的时候，他还没有理我相。So, Shifu said that, you know, the phenomenon of self is from your body experience to that you feel you attain Buddhahood. The, no matter what you can experience or attain, they are all the phenomena of self. So if someone tell you, I'm enlightened, I got it, I see it, that they are still in the phenomena of self. An enlightened one won't say that I am enlightened. I see my Buddha nature. Okay, because if you claim that, you still in the phenomena of self. So Shifu emphasized, our Buddha nature is not something we can obtain. It's already in us. And you just let go of the four phenomena. You let go of your ignorance, and that's you. Just like you are in a dream, right? You think that everything is true. When you wake up, you realize that you wake up. You won't say that I attempt something. Otherwise, it will be like you are from one dream to another dream. So it's still not you. When you wake up, you only know that the dream is illusory. It's not real. You won't feel that you attempt something. 所以师父常讲说，我们讲开悟哈，就像是。 你做梦嘛，你梦醒了之后，你知道说啊，梦是假的，但是你不会说啊，我终于得到什么东西了哈。那当我们放下四相或是放下我们的无明的时候呢，就好像是说我们终于知道梦是梦，梦是假的，然后现在是真的。那这个佛性本来就是我们的啊，我们不会去觉得说我们得到了什么东西。
Then next one is the phenomena of person. It's the one who experienced the self. So Shifu say it's the base. The phenomena of person is actually the base of wisdom. You need wisdom to experience something. From my previous explanation, the phenomenon of self for practitioner, we are not denying that, you know, we exist. It's that it's attachment. So when you have certain level of wisdom, you know, you practice very well, then you generate certain level of wisdom so that you can experience something spatial. That something spatial is the function of your mind. You already have it. But if you attach to it something, you get it, you want to attach to or grab it, that becomes your ignorance. That doesn't mean that that function doesn't exist. Okay? So, the for deeper practitioners, then you can see that, oh, it's the wisdom that you experience something. So if you, for example, you think that you have to see the Buddha nature, you have to through wisdom to see your Buddha nature. So the object is what you experience. The subject is what you see. Who see it. So that's wisdom. So I remember when we practice either Hua Tou or Silent Illumination, that sometimes when we keep using the method, and Shifu always remind us that you have to be clear about that you are using the method. That's a clear awareness that you are using the method. So sometimes when we are practicing the Hua Tou, sometimes we will get to a level, start to ask, who is asking the Hua Tou? In the beginning, you are asking the Hua Tou. Then when your mind goes deeper, then you start to realize, your mind is so concentrated using the hua-to, and then you found that there is a, there you have awareness, clear awareness that know that you are using the hua-to. And then who is using the hua-to? Who is watching you using the hua-to? That's the sign of the person, the phenomenon of person, that your wisdom is knowing that you are using the method. Okay? So that's your basically illumination or something. 所以呢，在第二项讲人相的时候呢，对于一个修行人或是菩萨来讲呢，他是一个人相，是体验自我的一个根源，它其实就是智慧的基础。当你要体验什么的时候，你一定要有智慧去体验它嘛，不然谁去体验这些东西呢？那所以能够体验这些经验的是你的智慧，那个智慧我们常常会执着是我啦，那就是另外一种执着。那所以这个智慧呢，可以从体验到身五蕴不是我的智慧，一直体验到说啊佛性或是觉悟的这个体验。好，那但是如果呢，你执着有一个智慧或是有一个人去体验到那个开悟的时候，你还是没有开悟，是因为你执着那个智慧是你，是纯就是一个主宰。我们不要讲你或是我了，就是说有一个智慧在主宰这件事情，那这还在人相的底阶段。那我记得我们常常在参话头或是用方法的时候，师父常常会提醒我们，你要很清楚的知道你自己在用方法，你要有那个觉照力，知道自己在用方法，不是机械性的在用方法。所以当我们自己在用方法用方法的时候，用到非常专注的时候，那你会有一个觉知力，是说哎，我知道我在用方法，那请问谁在用方法？我知道我在用方法，哎，两个我呢，那请问谁在参话头？好，那就是定慧等值，有没有？有一个人正在修定，有一个慧正在看着他。然后当你能够放下说这个五蕴这个身体不是你的时候，那你却会执着那个观照的那个是主宰，他是主宰，那就是人相。那这也不是我们可以执着的。但是呢，我们刚刚讲到人我相人相的时候，讲是主观跟客观嘛，你要体验什么东西，你一定要有一个主宰去体验它嘛，对不对？所以一个是客观被体验的东西，一个是主观体验的主宰。好，那这个时候你只要有这种主客门锁的话，它都不是真正的开悟，都还是执着。 So once you have subjectivity and objectivity, it's duality. It never be our Buddha nature. So we have to go beyond it.And for Bodhisattva, I remember from the Sastra, it says that Bodhisattva, why they are still Bodhisattva? Because they have the last bit of ignorance, thinking that there are sentient beings to be saved. Okay? So,why they think that there is sentient beings to be saved? Because that's their vows. All the Bodhisattva make vows before they can attain the Buddhahood. That vows make them feel that, you know, there are sentient beings to be saved. So in Buddhist study, we always say that, you know, there are three doors of liberation.Emptiness, no form, no vows. That's the reason. Emptiness, no form, or no phenomena or no signs, the same word, 相, 同一个, and no vows. You let go of all the attachments. Then you can enlighten. So when we practice six paramita, we always will remind people, you know, practice it. 三轮提供的英文怎么讲? If you want to, for example, offering. If you want to practice offering so that you can go to the other shore, you have to practice that there is I offer these things to you. These three things got to be no attachment to these three things. Don't think that I am offer this to you. We call it three, what is that called? Anyway, I'll check it out next time. OK, 所以呢在菩萨哈菩萨在修行过程当中哈在经文上讲说菩萨剩下最后的一分无明就放下那一分无明他就成佛哪一分无明呢就是认为还有众生可度那还有众生可度的这个执着不是说他有我的执着而是说他还有一个念头是他要去度众生那这来自何处呢来自于他的大愿所有的菩萨要成佛都发大愿那个愿会让他在心很维系的时候呢还有一股动力要去度众生还有一个觉知是他要去度众生所以当我们佛教有时候讲到后来是讲三解脱门有没有你要解脱三解脱门是什么空无相无愿就是这个道理你要到达空无相无愿这个地步就是解脱了好那这是我们讲到说众生相 So that is the phenomena of existing beings So you think thatthere is something that can be saved or you want to save someone or something. Now, the next is the more subtle, very subtle phenomena. It's called phenomena of life or time. But I discussed with Abbott, we prefer to use life. At this point, it's attachment that you want to exist. Okay. And sometimes you cannot, it's a very natural phenomenon. For example, we need time to live, right? That's very, very, crude way to explain it. But, in the sutra, it says that, you know, just like the eyes,If our wisdom is a whole pot of boiling water, and the ice cube is your vexation, if you want to dissolve your vexation, you throw the ice cube into the boiling water, it needs time to dissolve. Okay? In other words, all the phenomena in this world, if you want to change, it needs time. When you generate vexation, you want to get rid of the vexation, or you want to turn your concept, use a method, no matter what approaches you are using, you need time. So I remember Dalai Lama say, people ask him, do you have vexation? You know, people say you are Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara. Well, do you have vexation? He says, yes. One second. Vexation come, vexation go, but one second. That's time, the phenomena or sign of time. Okay. 那什么是受者相呢？ 那很粗的就是说啊，我们需要时间来活着嘛，没时间就不能活了嘛，哈。但是比较细微到菩萨的那种境界的时候呢，智慧的功能产生需要时间。好，那他就像在经文解了一个比喻哈，他说如果我们的智慧是一锅沸腾的水啊，那我们的烦恼呢是一个冰块。当你要用智慧的水呢去溶解你那烦恼的冰块的时候，不管你的水有多大锅，冰有多小块，你还是要时间去融化它，对不对？也就是说在我们世间的任何一种现象它升起的时候，如果你要看它变化要时间。好，所以这个受者像是就是说没有时间了，那你什么都看不见了。所以我们一定会想要抓住一个东西让我们觉得说我们存在，这是一个我们非常细微细微对于生命的一种执着。那这是众生相。 OK, so 师父 in the book say that sentient beings the ultimate subtlest subvexation is we have to perceive to exist. We have to perceive to exist. If we don't have, can you imagine that you have no six roots, six organs, you have no six dust, no environment, no you, where are you? No body, no mind, and no environment. How do you perceive that you exist? That's our subtlest vexation. So people scare when they use method, when they go to very deep, the mind have to let go, let go, let go at certain point that you generate fear. Because you feel that you let go, you disappear. Okay. 所以呢在这个受者相它是非常非常维系的对于生命存在的一种执着哈。那师父就说了哈，我们最众生最根本最维系的烦恼就是我们必须要借由觉知而知道自己存在。那我们可不可以想象说，哎呀，如果我们没有六根，也没有这个环境跟我们互动，那请问你在哪里？你知道你在哪儿吗？你没有六根哦，眼耳鼻舌身意没有了，也没有别人来打你一巴掌，就是也没有众生的哈，那请问你在哪里？所以当我们有时候用方法哈，用到非常非常非常维系的时候，你的心不是要不断的放下放下吗？放到某种层次的时候，到了非常一个 critical point 的时候，当你要放下那最后一个执着的时候，你是不自觉的会产生一种恐惧，因为你的心攀缘惯了，你的心习惯攀缘一个东西，不管它是多维系的一个东西，可是你今天要把它放下的时候，你会恐惧什么？恐惧你就不存在了。所以有很多人怕说，那我就不存在了，我为什么要不存在？我为什么要修行？他们觉得我就不存在了，因为存在对我们来讲一定要有个东西可以去感觉去抓。好，所以呢这个受者相是没有办法放的，一定要去抓。那你要抓，好，你要 perceive, 你要去接受讯息，是不是要时间？好，如果说没有时间，根本没有接受这种动作的话，你不知道你在哪里啊。So you know the perception, the receiving signals, so that you can confirm that you exist. It needs time. So without time, there is no process of perception. Then you scare. So we will attach to the phenomena of life. So 师父 says that.These four phenomena or these four signs actually is the attachment of the self. We attach to the self that interact with the environment. So the four phenomena is actually generated from our the deep subtle self-attachment that interact with others. That's why we generate the four phenomena. And that's the things that we need to let go.
所以师父也在强调说，为什么我没有四相呢？就是因为有我执，那个非常深刻、非常维系的那个我执，然后那个我执跟外界互动的时候就产生四相，有没有？觉得什么，然后你就有能所，然后你就有外面能所之后就知道有外在，然后你又因为接受讯息，所以它需要时间。那所以说，这四项前三者是空间上的执着，我相、人相、众生相是空间上的执着，那受者相是时间上的执着。好，那对于佛来讲是没有空间跟时间的执着，也就是说没有这四项。Okay. So these four phenomena that it generates based on are very subtle self-attachment that interact with the environment, and it manifests as four different phenomena. And the first three phenomena, the self, the person, and the existing beings, that belongs to the attachment to space. You exist, I exist, right? We need space to separate us. That's space attachment, and the phenomena of life is the attachment to time. So basically, we attach to space and time. For enlightened one, they don't attach to space and time. They are not bounded by space and time. So we say that there is no past, present, and future. Right? So.We can explain that. 那我刚刚是讲英文，对不对？好。Next is very interesting. It happened to me last night. That the sutra says that you have four phenomena. You know that. So you want to practice diligently. Right? And you read a lot of sutras. Sutra says that if you don't let go of the four phenomena, no matter how diligently you practice, no matter how many sutras, etc. you read, you enforce or these four phenomena. You strengthen your four phenomena. So last night, I want to make sure that what I read from the book is correct so that I can explain to you. So I go to our abbot, I bring the books to him. I sort of rehearsal.To our abbot, say, from my understanding, the four phenomena is like this, 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 that, and that. And then so the abbot tried to explain. There is no four phenomena. Just like what he taught. There is no four phenomena. There is no self. And, it's all self-attachment and all that. I just like, what? No phenomena. So what am I going to talk about tomorrow? And so we back and forth, on and on, I bring the book. You see, the sutra says four phenomena. Sufa's book says four phenomena. Master Tai Xu says four phenomena. How can you say there is no four phenomena? We start to, and then my voice get louder, voice get higher and higher. I want to debate.I want to convince Abbot that there is four phenomena. Then in the end, Abbot said, okay, we have two different logic here. I have my logic, you have your logic.
You just explain what you understand to the crowd. Maybe they don't understand. And that's okay. Just like I don't understand what Eva said. And that's okay. So what is this four phenomena? It's a reminder that when we practice or in our daily life, this is called upside down views or erroneous view. No matter how you explain it, it is upside down. There is no accurate upside down view. You know what I mean? There is no accurate erroneous view. It's just inaccurate. It's not right. And try to explain this is to help us. Don't attach to it. You know, I explain this through my understanding or through my practice. And you might have, different master has different interpretation. And that's okay. But, you know, the bottom line is no attachment to it. So, and then I realized, when I go back to my office, I realized, I was tied up by what Sutra says and what the books say. I insist, this is right, and this is so upside down. This is so wrong. And that's what Sutra say, you know. I attach to, I'm right. And you strange. I don't understand you. I'm right. So I have the four phenomena already. And based on that, I try to debate. It's all the way wrong. Okay. 那我想其实就是说昨天晚上就带着一些书带着我的教案然后就想说讲这个有点复杂我要去跟住持法师确认一下我的了解是对的，不然在这边胡说八道哈，那这个罪过很大。然后就把所有的东西就开始请教，在住持法师面前，我就说我讲一遍给你听，你看有没有错哈。然后就讲到后来，住持法师说不对，根本就没有四相，根本就没有我，怎么会有四相呢？好，通通都是我执。我说。我执是对，可是我执是我相的第一个执着啊，我相、人相、众生相、寿者相，还有其他三相，他说都是我执。然后我们两个就，然后住持法师就讲他的那番道理给我听，然后我就听了说，是有道理，但是请看《圆觉经》，这里明明就有讲四相哦，我相、人相、众生相、寿者相，你看哦。师父也讲四相哦，太虚大师也讲四相哦，怎么会说没有四相呢？那我叫我明天讲什么？我明天就是要讲四相啊。好，我的声音就越来越大，我就坚持说有四相，有四相，我一定要把这个四相讲清楚。然后最后住持法师发现我这个执着越来越重了，他就说好，没有关系，没有关系，你明天呢就把你了解的东西去跟大家讲。好，那我有我的逻辑，你有你的，他有他的体验，我有我的逻辑，那你就按照你的讲啊，也许大家也听不懂啊，没有关系。那我就发现说，我回去又读到经文上最后讲哦，他说，这个末世众生哦，不除四相啊，你再怎么精勤，什么虽勤精进，增益诸宾。就是说，如果你不能警觉你有这四个执着哈，然后你不管修行再怎么精进，你读再怎么书多书呢，你增加了你的执着，增加了你的四相哈。也就是我昨天在跟住持法师讨论的时候，就是我会坚持，我看到的哈，我读到的是对的，然后住持法师你说的很奇怪，我听不懂，我啦哈，我这样，然后你这样哈。然后明天哦，他们大家一定会被我搞糊涂，就是，然后呢，我又很紧张说，我剩下不到12小时的时间，然后，那我要怎么办？所以我的四相的执着是越来越强，越来越强。那所以不管我再怎么讲都是错的了哈。 就是总而言之，四相佛陀告诉我们是邪见、颠倒见。好，那有没有叫做正确的颠倒见？有没有这回事？邪见就是邪见，有没有正确的邪见？有没有正确的颠倒见？所以呢，这个邪见呢，我们不管怎么讲，都是 OK 的啦，因为它都是不对的啦。最麻烦的是，我不知道怎么讲什么是正确的啦。我不晓得什么是佛性，我不能讲出来给大家听。但是我们可以讲说什么不是佛性。好，所以今天祖师大德去看很多书，或是请教不同的师父，他们可能都会跟你依他们的经验或他们的观点去解释这个，告诉我们不对的地方。那可能我不对的地方跟你不对的地方不太一样，但是最主要是说，我们要去警觉这个四相的执着是无所不在的，那我们要放下它，那我们不要去计较说这个四相到底是怎样才叫做这个我相啊。那师父有讲哈，反正从你可以觉知的东西，从你的身体到你可以觉知有佛性可证，都是我相。好，那你呢，这个人相呢，就是说那个智慧，就是说你可以知道身体，因为要有觉照力嘛，才知道是身体嘛。然后到一直到你觉得啊，我证到成佛了，那都要一个智慧。你的觉照力事实上是一种智慧，那是一种人相。那众生相就是说啊，这个不是你也不是我，好像大我了哈，大我之中你还会去确立一个有众生要来度，好，有一个确立一个众生要去度众生，那就是众生相。那受者相就是说，你智慧要起功能的时候，它需要时间，那你会有那种非常维系对生命的执着，那这个执着你不放下哈，你没办法进入无我。基本上是这样子，我们前面的都可以忘记，后面这段记得就好。So like I said, you know, there is no correct erroneous view or correct upside down view. It's upside down, that's it. And so no matter how we interpret it, the bottom line is try to remind us that let go, you know, don't attach to these four phenomena. So Shifu just conclude that, you know, the phenomena of self is that whatever you perceive from your body all the way to what? Your Buddha nature. You think that you perceive, you realize your Buddha nature. That's the object you perceive. That's the sign, the phenomena of self. And the second,is you need awareness or wisdom to perceive your body or perceive the thing that you attend something. That's the wisdom. And the third is the phenomenon of existing beings. That is, you know, no objectivity, no subjectivity. It's united one, but.Among the united one, you identified a subtle self that subtle self can self, that can save sentient beings. That's the phenomenon of existing beings. You still exist, right? And the fourth is the phenomenon of life, is the subtlest attachment to existence. And your wisdom, no matter what you want to manifest,or when you perceive, all the process needs time. And you let go of, you have to let go of that, otherwise you cannot get to the point, get to no self. Okay, let go of the space and time, attachment to space and time. Okay, last. 最后哈，一个比喻。师父讲说了那么多事项哈，啊好麻烦哦，然后又无所不在哦，那修行到底怎么办啊？师父最后一个例子哈，我可能以前说过哈，就是爬那个玻璃油山，有没有？爬了半天， 那如果你说你在你爬到那个山顶，就表示说你跟师父讲说我正得佛心，因为我爬到山顶啊，对不起，你还在梦中。好，那我们要用方法是用到说那个山不见了，山不见就是你醒来了，没有山，没有修行的人，而不是说你证悟什么，你爬到山顶了。好 ，so I will conclude this with 师父's story, say that there is a oily mountain, very steep, and you climb the mountain with your bare foot and bare hand. So it never success, right? You climb and you step down, climb down. And the purpose of this practice seems like useless, never get to anywhere. But Shifu said, you still need to climb it and try your best to climb it until one day the mountain disappears. Why the mountain disappears? Because you wake up from the dream. The mountain and you are in the dream. You are practicing in the dream. The purpose is not get to the mountain top. They say, you climb. You see, your Buddha nature is on top of the mountain. And you see that girl, you climb it. But in the end, the purpose is to wake up from the dream, not get to the top. So if you tell Sifu that, I'm on top of the mountain, it's no different from say, Sifu, I'm enlightened. And you are still attached to the four phenomena. Okay, so Sifu remind us. First, to know that the Buddha nature is already in us, not something outside. Second, when practice, you still need to set goal. You're still in a dream. You still need to tell yourself, I want to climb to the mountain. So that's why you can try diligently. And that's why you can wake up. Okay. 所以师父最后提醒我们，好，记住两点。第一个，佛性本来就在我们这边，不是对外求得一个东西。第二个，当我们的修行的时候，还是要设定一个目标，就是我们要见佛性，这样我们才会努力，在梦中有一个目标，你努力努力，有一个动力努力，但是那个目标是要你从梦中醒来，而不是好像可以追求一个山顶可以抵达。当你梦醒的时候，你发现那个山本来就在你的心中。Okay, so I end today's talk. Thank you. I love我们要来送这个 verse on marriage transfer. 我们要来送回向偈哈 ，Chinese verse. Okay.
愿你以此功德庄严佛净土，上报四重恩，下济三途苦。若有见闻者，悉发菩提心，尽此一报身，同生极乐国。
May the virtuous merits adorn and glorify the pure lands of the Buddhas. Upwardly we repay the four layers of gratitude. Downwardly we alleviate the sufferings of the three destinies. May those who see and hear the Dhamma generate Bodhi mind. Exhausting this body of retribution, may we be born in the land of supreme bliss.
一问询保远，各位请相对站 ，Please face the central aisle. Please your platform. 我们恭送长华法师。 大家，现在麻烦各位把我们的场地清理清洁足够。We need to put all the cushions and towels away and keep only the first few rows of chairs. Oh, 只有这边。